Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the full moon today at 10:53 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Aries with a square to Saturn. The full moon is the delivery day to the new moon on September 9th, 2018, 17 degrees Virgo. What began on this day is now in full visibility. In this show, we will be discussing the practice of using what surrounds us to mirror what we are holding in consciousness. Listen as Swami explains the value of moving the mind into its rightful position as an avenue of an awareness of truth. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance, get the light in your soul, and cast out fear. So Swami, I did look up on Google today, and because this is the closest full moon to the September autumn equinox in the Northern Hemisphere, this particular September full moon is also known as the harvest moon. So, but let's get to our program today. So what can you tell us about the full moon that's coming up?
Well, I think it'd be a great time to do your harvesting, good time to pull in your crops. And like we say, the full moon is the delivery day. And whatever began with the new moon at 17 degrees Virgo on September 9th comes to fruition today. And that'll happen, the full moon happens tonight at 10:53 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Now, what begins in the feminine side of Mercury chakra culminates in the masculine side of Mars chakra, giving a generic message that purity brings bravery. And the message of this particular full moon, this lunation, is courage. And so I think it's a great time for us to maybe muster up some of the courage to apply a lot of the things that we've been talking about in previous shows. This whole thing of the spiritualization of thought, giving up a personal sense of self, and accepting a impersonal spiritual sense of selfhood, which really takes a tremendous amount of courage to leave what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, and embark on the anxiety, the uncertainty of this unknown, to actually go from relying on the sustaining infinite, to put your trust, to put your faith in something that is invisible and intangible, takes a leap of faith. And so courage is an important ingredient in making this specific change in your values at this time.
Swami, you had mentioned just a few minutes ago about harvesting. How would we go about harvesting what had transpired back on September 9th?
I think an important thing is what we talk about is keeping a journal so that you could go back to September 9th and start to see what was coming on screen for you. And a big part of using astrology in general is based on the principle that what surrounds us is within us. And the movement of the celestial bodies has always been portrayed as the will of God, that this was a tangible way of us being able to comprehend something that is invisible and intangible. so that by using these transits and progressions and astrological configurations, we have something like a compass to be able to understand what it is that divine law is trying to express at a particular time. And all of this is going to play out because what is appearing before us is really divine law expressing itself. And plugging into some of the variables is that we've got the visible and the tangible, we've got the invisible and the tangible, and we've got the invisible and intangible aspects of reality that we're trying to juggle and try and make sense out of it. And so using a particular configuration like a full moon and in conjunction with a personal journal helps you individualize what's happening on a collective level. Because circumstances and situations, everything that you record in your journal is really what is happening in your personal consciousness, how you are internalizing this biosphere of energy that is playing out. And so having or creating an evidence procedure for this can be really helpful, and also to be able to turn it into kind of like a story, which is my life or the circumstances and the events that are starting to present themselves before me and how I'm internalizing it starts to give me clues as to what is my level of consciousness, what is my degree of awareness. And so using a full moon and using your personal journal, you can go to your journal and you can look and see maybe 2.5 days, 3 days before, 3 days after the what happened on the new moon, and then start to see what's happening in your life now. You can maybe start to connect the dots with regard to giving you clues as to how you're living your life. And I think where most of our conflicts come is between personal will and divine law seeking expression. Now, if we are in harmony with divine law seeking expression, then that's what we externalize. A harmonious, peaceful, usually a very full and complete outpicture that your life is in balance, that you are complete, you are whole, you are well. If there are things that are out of sync with divine law, if there's any discord or if there is any conflict, then these are indicators that my will is not in sync with thy will. And that's where we start to experience some of the complications, some of the conditions, and abnormal conditions.
Swami, could you review with us a few of the other aspects that are going on with the full moon?
Yeah. The new moon promises, the full moon delivers, and the promise is the sun moon sextiles Jupiter. And it trines Pluto, which may suggest a transformation of lofty aspirations into self-expression. And that's self with a capital S. And the delivery is sun in conjunct Uranus, opposition the moon, square Saturn, trine Mars, sextiles the north node, and trines the south node. And of course, the delivery may be colored with a series of events bringing new insights to form self-expression. There may be tension between the collective purpose and self-expression. and harmony between personal desire and self-expression. So as we can see, self-expression, and that's self with a capital S, is really a prominent theme in this particular lunation. And what we had started to say in the beginning is the importance of courage in being able to let go of personal ambition, personal desire, personal interest, and now make way for the divine law. And in order to do that, one really needs to have a sense of spiritual understanding that we're really moving, like we have been talking about, we're moving from reading our lives from the testimony of our senses to trusting what is invisible and intangible, what is behind the forms, and recognizing that the forms are just there because they are divine law revealing itself to us. What it is mirroring is it's mirroring what it is that I'm holding in my consciousness. And so however I'm thinking becomes a huge variable at this time. And if I am thinking with a five-sense mind, or as we had said last week, if I am thinking with a five-sense mind that is externalized as the world mind, then I'm still operating from duality. I'm still operating under the law of karma. And self-expression, self with a capital S, really implies that I am operating from divine law, the law of love, the law of harmony, perfect harmony. And for me to really be able to accept my spiritual identity, I have to purify myself physically, mentally, conceptually, and completely turn over my sense of self to divine mind. And when divine mind takes over the scientific government of my being, that is when I am in true harmony with divine will.
So we've been talking a lot about divine mind, and I realize that we can't just think that we may think that we are operating from divine mind, but we may not be. So how would we know the difference?
Yeah, that it is such an intricate and technical understanding that you have to develop, because so many of us are still operating from a five-sense mind. We are still thinking humanly. And then, of course, what we do is we try and align our thinking with the qualities of divine law. And then, of course, we think that we are doing God's will because we are doing the things that are in accordance with divine will or divine law. But that's not the same as when divine mind takes over the scientific government of your being, because you're still operating from the lower mind, but you think you're operating from a spiritual sense of understanding. And so what we call that is that you are using a concept of the divine, and you're not hardwired or directly connected to divine law. An important distinction to understand is that when we are using human thought, that you're working with a dimension of reality that is invisible, but it is still tangible, that it's still transmitting a frequency. When you are actually understanding yourself spiritually, you are directly connected to divine mind. And divine mind is invisible but intangible. So there is absolutely no signal that is being transmitted. There's no frequency. And so anytime that when you are practicing or working with your meditative practice, you're really trying to make a clear distinction between those two different experiences, that when you are in sync and the raiment of your mind is now clothed with divine idea, there is absolutely no signal that is reported in the lower mind. And that is a true understanding of pratyahara in Kriya Yoga.
All right, great. Well, I think we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will return with you very shortly. Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I have in our notes for today this statement that where there is material loss will lead to spiritual gain. I'm wondering if you can expand upon that statement for us.
Yeah, where we got that was where we looked at the nodal axis, the north node and the south node. The north node is 4 degrees Leo in this full moon, and the south node is 4 degrees Aquarius. And the sun-moon opposition is in favorable aspect to those nodes. The sun is sextile the north node, and it is trine the south node. The moon is sextile the south node, and it is trine the north node. And also, Mars is conjunct the south node. And Mars, of course, is trine the sun, and it is sextile the moon. And that really kind of brings and upholds this theme that we're talking about here, which is the whole thing of courage, that this configuration is bringing forth the application of courage.
Well, when you first started talking about courage earlier, I had an image in my mind of two prints I had recently seen. And the first print is Daniel in the lion's den, and he's facing 7 lions with his hands bound behind his back. And in the next print that I saw, it's Daniel in the lion's den again, but this time his back is to the 7 lions. His hands are still bound, but he's looking up at the light. Like, it looks like he would be looking out the window, maybe looking up to heaven. And so my question to you is, do you think Daniel is exercising this sense of courage in the second print?
Yeah, and not only that, but the symbolism of that particular scene, or those, both of those prints, one is called Daniel facing the lions, and the other is called Daniel's answer to the king. And the symbolism there, of course, is you've got the man, the water bearer, which represents Aquarius, and then the lions, which represents Leo, symbolically. And what we're talking about here is the Mars influence, with the Mars conjunct the south node, the whole thing of bravery. As you start to drill down a little bit deeper with Daniel in the lion's den, you really start to see that what Daniel was actually doing was transcending the appearances of his reality and recognizing that what was before him was divine law appearing as ferocious lions. And what outpictures then, of course, has to be in accordance with divine law. And even say, for example, I mean, the symbolism of his hands being bound behind his back really implies, because the hands are a Mercury image, and the Mercury is symbolic for the lower mind, the five sense mind. And with the mind behind his back, he really has acknowledged the presence of divine mind. In the one picture where he's looking up, it is his acknowledgement of the presence of divine law that keeps him completely out of harm's way. And of course, in the other one, where he is looking at the lions, here the symbolism there is that he is seeing the presence of the divine. He is seeing not lions, ferocious lions about to devour him, but what he sees is divine law appearing as these lions. And this type of thinking is exactly what Jesus was doing with all of his miracles. And that's one of the reasons why the term in the Bible, repent, doesn't mean to plead for forgiveness. It really means to think differently. That by us moving from the testimony of our five senses and accepting only the presence of divine law, we now move from a belief in two powers and the law of karma, and we now rise into a belief in one power. And of course, the divine law of harmony, there is no conflict. There is only one. And it is absolute goodness, it is absolute life, and it is absolute love.
So I think if I understand you correctly, what Daniel is teaching us is that we should be looking at things a little differently. So if we look at a situation with fear, or it could be danger or something negative, and we got to look through that to see what it is truly there showing us.
Yeah, you're 100% right on that. And that's a big part of what we're talking about here. This whole thing of living out from the perfection of being, understanding that spirit is cause. And when the mind is in its rightful position as an avenue of awareness, and we are thinking with divine mind, then we are thinking with divine law. And so that must externalize as harmony, peace, love. But when we are thinking humanly, and we are thinking either with our personal mind and our ability to form thoughts and opinions and the changing conditions of our personal mentality, or when we are thinking with the collective consciousness or the world mind and still operating from our five sense mind, we are now in the law of karma. We now have a belief in two powers, and so we are creating a secondary reality of appearances that is false. And the reason we say that it's false is because it is not backed by divine law. It is not backed by principle. That the only thing that causes it to manifest or appear to manifest is our belief in it. Because the lower mind is not cause. That spirit is cause. And the only reason why we get any kind of effect at all from our five sense mind thinking is because of belief, where we deflect the power of divine law. And in that deflection, it gives what appears to be before us to be real. It gives it the appearance of power, but it's really only an image. made of the same stuff that our dreams are made of. And the only thing that is real is spirit. Like we have been saying, that aspect of reality doesn't report in our five sense mind. And for the most part, that's where most of us live out of. And that's why in the Bible it says, repent, to think differently, really means to give up the testimony of your five senses and start to live out of the invisible, intangible dimension, which is backed by principle. And even though it isn't reporting in our senses, pure consciousness is more real. Yeah, with our Western socialization and our acceptance of a lot of human theories and beliefs, we believe that things that are visible and tangible are more real than things that are invisible and tangible. So that's a big part of the confusion that we experience, and our acceptance of that puts us in a little bit of a tailspin because we are not in alignment with divine law, which is the only true reality. And we have a tendency to believe our five senses and not the invisible, intangible presence of the divine.
Is that what you mean by when we said in the opening to join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance, get the light in your soul and cast out fear?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. That you can have spirit and matter. You can have light and dark in the same room. And so with the presence of divine law under the jurisdiction of one power, there is no fear. And the reason is because there is no danger. There's no such thing as danger in divine law. Divine law is absolute. It's whole. It's complete. And by our accepting the testimony of the five senses and our belief in two powers, we're under the law of karma, which are conflicting forces and the opposite forces. And when we reside at that level of consciousness, we are basically drawing from fear and limitation. We are accepting an identity that is mortal, finite, and temporary. Whereas when you move into an identity that aligns with your spiritual sense of selfhood, now you are accepting it and acknowledging that you are an eternal spiritual being in the image and likeness of the divine. And from that perspective, then there is no fear. And so to me, that's the highest octave of the Mars theme. And it is really the best use of the attribute of courage that there is, because there is nothing to fear when everything is good. Everything is the divine law revealing itself as whatever it is that is before us.
So is casting out fear the same thing as living out from the perfection of being?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. That when we are recognizing the presence of the divine, we are in the perfection of being. And that recognition activates the divine law of harmony and love. And so in the framework of that environment, then there is nothing to fear.
Well, I think we have to stop our program right here. So listeners, thank you for listening to our Blog Talk Radio show. Be sure to visit our websites, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on that homepage, about three quarters of the way down, there's a section that says Swami Says Recent Post. You'll be able to see some other archive shows we have there for your continued learning experiences. So be sure to tune in to listen and watch our Facebook Live episodes that we do every Wednesday at 5 p.m. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to start to think differently and to start to move out of the testimony of their five senses and start to acknowledge the presence of divine law and attune themselves to something that is invisible, intangible, but that is also pure, powerful, and sacred, and will never let them down. With that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.